All right, if we could start by opening up our Bibles to Luke chapter 6 is where we're at. Luke chapter 6. We're looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. In the book of Matthew, we read his Sermon on the Mount. In the book of Luke, we read the Sermon on the Plain. And in these sermons, he hits different points. He hits some of the same points. But we can see a sermon preached by Jesus in its entirety here in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. We're going to look at just the very beginning of the verse 37 and preach from that. Jesus preached in Luke 6, verse 37. He said, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." Now, in today's world, and pretty much in any world, any time that there's been, in the church, let's just say, there's been teachings, there's been things going on in the church that seem, you know, ridiculous. I'm thinking of a few years ago, there was this man named Todd Bentley, and he was a revivalist preacher, a guy down in Florida teaching this Lakeland revival. And he said that one night, God told him this lady was coming up to be healed or something at the stage, told him to kick her, this old lady in the face with a biker boot. And so he went and kicked her in the face with his boot. This is some preacher, right? Now, are we to sit there and say, well, that's all right, because we're not to judge? I mean, there's things that go on that we know are wrong, that we know from the Word of God is wrong. But there's things that are done in the name of Jesus Christ, things that are done in the churches that we know are wrong, but yet a mantra is kind of phrased, you know, don't judge. You shouldn't judge. Is that what Jesus is saying here? And I give to you that when we look at the whole of Scripture, He's not talking about not discerning what's right and wrong, saying just throw all judgment out of the window, especially inside the church. We are to judge those things. And let's look here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. First of all, Jesus said, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." We go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15. And we want to interpret spiritual things, scriptural things, with Scripture. So we compare these things. We know they cannot contradict. So we want to figure the entirety of what the message here is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So Jesus said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Here we read, "He that is spiritual judges all things." Proverbs 31:9 says, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy." In Proverbs, we're told to judge righteously. The Bible says in Proverbs, "To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." In John 7, verse 24, Jesus said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And so Jesus himself said, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." We're told that he that is spiritual judges all things. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. But yet Jesus here in the Sermon on the Plain says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged." So what is it? Is it to judge, or is it to not to judge? That's what I want to look at today. That's the question we'll look at today. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us, help us to rightly discern and to interpret your word, rightly put these things together to compare Scripture with Scripture, compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And Lord, help us to judge righteously and not judge hypocritically, not judge as you warned us not to. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So to judge or to not to judge? Let's begin in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew. And here we read in Matthew chapter 6 the Sermon on the Mount. Which again, I said there's a lot of things he preached that are the same. Some things are different. Let's start with Matthew chapter 6 where he preaches the same thing. He says, "Judge not and ye shall not be judged." Matthew chapter 6. But we're going to start in verse 1. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1. And just get the tenor, just get the pattern of how he's preaching here in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Jesus says, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men." Now, alms, do not alms before men. Alms is giving to charity, doing good things for for the poor and needy, doing things for other people. We would call it charity, giving to charity, right? Jesus said, take heed that you don't give to charity, you don't do your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward. Verse 2 says, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. You can imagine somebody getting ready to give money to charity or to the poor and saying, look, I'm going to give $100,000 here in my name. Everybody see me? I'm giving it, right? And people are like, oh, what a great guy, right? Jesus said, if you're doing that, you have your reward. If you're simply giving money in order to make yourself look better, that's your reward. And that happens a lot in the world today. In the NFL, in the National Football League, if you watch on a Sunday, every commercial break, they'll have a United Way commercial. And they'll show one of their NFL players, you know, playing with kids and doing good work for the community and giving money to the United Way. And why does the National Football League show that they're doing good works? They want you to think, what a great organization. Look at those football players. They're great people. But they're doing their alms. They're doing their charity before men so that we esteem them higher. Right? We're not to do that. If you go to Walmart and you look on their board, it'll say money donated to charity in the last month. And you can look and say, oh, they gave $1,000 to York Public School. They gave $1,000 to, you know, the United Way. And you're like, oh, what a great thing, Walmart. But they're doing that so that we look at it and say, oh, what a great organization. I want to spend my money at Walmart because look at the good things they do. So they're doing alms. They're doing charity to be seen by others. We ought not to do that. Right? If we're giving to others in order to help ourselves, that's hypocritically. It's acting like we're sacrificing. But really, we're wanting to be seen. We're wanting to help ourselves. So Jesus is saying, he's not saying don't do alms, don't give to charity. He's saying don't do it hypocritically. Look in verse 5, Matthew chapter 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Is Jesus saying do not pray? No, he's saying don't pray like the hypocrites to just build yourself up, to just be seen of men. We're to pray, but we're to pray in secret. We're to pray in a closet, not to be seen of men so that they say, oh, what a religious man that is. He's a godly man. So he's not saying don't pray. He's saying don't pray hypocritically. Look at verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces so that they may appear unto men to fast. He's not saying don't fast, but when you fast, don't go moping around in rags just so the people will look at you and say, what a religious man. What a very godly man. If we're doing it to be seen of others, that's hypocritical. That's how the hypocrites do it. So we're to give to charity. We're to do things for others, but not to better ourselves, not for our own glory. We're to pray, but not for our own glory. We're to fast, but not for our own glory. And so when we come to chapter 7, verse 1, and we read about judging, I think it's the same pattern. We're to judge, but we're not to judge in order to build ourselves up. We're not to judge to make ourselves feel better. We're not to judge hypocritically, is what Jesus is talking about. Look at Matthew 7, verse 1. He says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So again, he's not saying do not judge, do not help a brother take a mote out of his eye. He's saying first and foremost, judge yourself. Take the beam out of, you can imagine a beam in somebody's eye. I mean, if you get a little speck of something in your eye, it feels like a beam, doesn't it? I mean, you have stuff in your eye and it kills and you can't get it out. And when it comes out, if you ever see what it is, you're like, that was bothering me. So you can imagine what a beam would feel like. And we're going to see it's in our nature to be able to overlook the beam that's in our own eye, but we can easily see somebody else's speck in their eye, we think. It's easy to overlook my own sin, but I can easily see, you know, in Ferd, I'm like, well, look at what Ferd's doing. And I can examine his life and I can tell you 100 things he does wrong, but I can't tell you one thing that I do wrong. Right? That's in our nature. And that's what that's hypocritical judging. Right? To go around and do that. So he's not saying don't make judgments, do not judge. He's saying don't judge hypocritically and first judge yourself first and foremost. And we know that he's not saying don't judge even others because look in verse 6 of that same chapter. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. We have to know who's the swine and who's a dog, and that we don't want to throw our pearls before them. And then we look down in verses 15 and 16. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." And so we have to judge, and you have to judge, we all have to judge who, if somebody's a false prophet. We got to beware of them. They look like sheep, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing, and we have to judge them by their fruits. Look at verse 20. "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." So Jesus isn't saying just don't judge anything, and anything goes, everything's fine, don't have any discernment. That's not what he's saying. He's saying do not judge others hypocritically. Just like we don't pray hypocritically or fast hypocritically or give your charity, give your alms hypocritically. We should judge ourselves first and foremost. We should, just as it says in Luke, just like it says in Matthew here as well, we should first take the beam out of our own eye, and then we can see clearly to take the mote or the speck out of our brother or sister's eye. We need to judge ourselves firstly. We need to judge ourselves most critically. And we'll come back to judging, though. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about how we are to judge. Look at John 7, verse 24. I quoted from this earlier, but let's look at it. John 7, verse 24. Because I think the question to judge or not to judge, the question is we should judge. He that is spiritual judges all things. The question is, how should we judge? How do we judge? And how do we make sure that we're judging the way God wants us to and not judging the way He condemns? Not judging the way that's hypocritical. We need to have that clear in our minds. So we see in John 7, verse 24. John 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." So that's a command. We are to judge righteous judgment. We're not to judge according to appearance, and we'll look at those things on how we're not to judge, but we want to know, how can we judge righteously? How can we judge righteous judgment? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, to prove something means to test it, to try it, to judge it. You know, all things in our life as Christians, as people that are led by the Spirit of God, we're to judge and to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. We don't just sit at home and have our TV on a station, just randomly flip, and it's some terrible show. Terrible stuff, terrible scenes, terrible. And we're just like, oh, I'm not to judge. No, we prove it. We say, that's not profitable. You know, and if we flip through the whole thing and none of it's profitable, we turn it off. Right? We need to prove all things in our lives. We want to prove all things, test all things. See, if I'm preaching the Word of God, we prove things. You don't just sit there idly and whatever I say, you say, well, it must be the truth. Lee said it. No, we prove all things. The Bible says the Bereans, they were more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So all the time while somebody's teaching, while somebody's preaching, while we're singing songs, we're praising God with it, but we're also proving it, making sure that it is in line with the Word of God. Proving all things, hold fast that which is good. We're commanded to do that. 1 Corinthians 2, let's turn there again, and let's look at one verse before that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. After the book of Acts is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We're to judge righteous judgment. So there's definitely a kind of judging that God commends. In fact, that God commands. The Bible says we will judge angels. We want to do the kind of judging that God commands. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "But the natural man," that's the man who's not a Christian, who has not been saved, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." Before I was saved, a lot of the stuff I'm saying now would just bounce off me. I mean, it wouldn't make sense. I'd be like, what's he talking about? Right? It's foolishness to us. But once we are saved, once we're not a natural man, but we're spiritual, we can spiritually discern things. And that's what we see at the end of verse 14. "Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." And that's the kind of judgment that God wants. He wants us to be discerning. He wants us to prove all things. He wants us to test things, test the spirits, try the spirits to see whether they're of God. "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man." So we're to judge all things. We're to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more we can judge with righteous judgment. The more we can know if it's something we should hold fast to, or if it's something we should put away from us. We need to be in the Word of God, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Like our baby here, Kai, he's still using milk. But we expect him to grow up and to be eating strong meat, maybe eating steak here when he's 2 or 3. Rocky steak, doesn't he? Yeah, so when he's 2, 1 even. Yeah, we expect him to grow up quick, right? But we want him to eat strong meat. If not, there's problems. Same thing as Christians. We're saved, we become Christians, and we start reading the Word of God, and we grow, and we learn, and we mature, and pretty soon we should be able to handle strong meat of the Word of God. We become skillful in the Word of God. And the Bible says strong meat of the Word of God belongs to him, them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And discerning good and evil, that's judging again. And we ought to do this all the time so that as we grow in the Word of God, as we grow in that meat of the Word of God, we can discern good and evil, and we use that discernment all the time. We judge all things, hold fast that which is good. Right? And so we need to be discerning people. We need to be people that prove all things and hold fast to those things which are good. That's the kind of judgment that God commands. He commends that kind of judgment. The type of judgment that God condemns is a hypocritical, prideful, self-seeking, self-serving judgment, criticism of another person. We looked at that in Luke chapter 6, where he says, first, take the beam out of your eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye. We all too often can be in a hurry to go condemn somebody else, to judge somebody else, to see faults in somebody else before we even look at ourselves. We're not worried about that other person. We're worried about putting them down, judging them, because it makes us feel more superior. Makes us feel like we're in the right. Makes us feel like we know what's going on and they're wrong. It's self-serving. Just like giving money so people see us makes us feel better. Makes us look better. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. I believe here's an example of the attitude that Jesus was talking about. The attitude of judging somebody else, of always thinking, you know, we're right, they're wrong. We're good, they're bad. We don't see the beam in our own eye. We just go around judging others in order to exalt ourselves. Look at Luke 18, verse 10. Actually, let's begin in verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. It says, "And Jesus, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." That's the kind of attitude that Jesus speaks against. When we trust that we're righteous and we don't like the other person because they're not. Right? We despise other people. We just think we're righteous. That's the attitude that Jesus spoke against the Pharisees about. That's who he's preaching this. Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not hypocritically. He says this, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Thank you, God, I'm not like an extortioner, I'm not unjust, an adulterer, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess.'" It's a self-serving prayer, is it not? "Thank you that I'm so great, and he's not. Thank you that I'm not like that guy." But the publican, again, this is for our purposes a tax collector, it's a little more than that, but this tax collector who was hated by the society he was in, "he stood afar off and would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." I give to you that a lot of times, and if we find ourselves doing this, if we're judging others, if I'm on the phone with John and I'm talking about Rich and saying, "Yeah, I can't believe Rich does this, and this is what Rich did, and that's so wrong." If I'm doing it so that me and John can feel better about ourselves, exalting ourselves by judging somebody else, by putting them down, we're going to be abased. We're going to be brought low. If we are judging others hypocritically in order just to bring ourselves glory, to exalt ourselves, that is improper judgment. And we'll talk in a little bit about proper judgment to a brother or a sister. It has nothing to do with exalting ourselves. But this man, this Pharisee, definitely he was exalting himself. And Jesus said, whoso exalts himself shall be abased, shall be brought low. When we judge others before first judging ourselves, that's the kind of judging that God condemns. When we judge others in order to exalt ourselves, that's the kind of judging that God condemns. We're in Luke. Let's go back to chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And this verse kind of, this rule of thumb works for almost all situations. It says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. I mean, with our children, and you know, they get in conflicts, what would you want them to do to you? I mean, that works, it should work in our lives as well. Somebody harms, and this is in the context of somebody harming you, you turn the other cheek. Somebody steals from you, you give to them. Somebody borrows and they don't bring back, you're fine. And do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think it goes also for judging, for criticizing, for bringing a rebuke to you. Because we as Christians are not to just sit around, and if I know that Nels is drifting deeper and deeper into sin, and I know what's going on, and I've seen this happen over the year, I don't just sit back and say, well, I'm not to judge. That's his own deal. As a brother in Christ, I need to go to him. If I know that, I can go to him alone. I can talk to him and confront him about that in the most loving way that I can, in the way that I would want him to do unto me. But it's not loving to just turn away and say, well, that's Nels' deal. Right? So we are, as Christians, to be able to take specks, be able to take motes out of each other's eyes. We must first take the beam out of our own eye, but then we can see clearly to take the mote out of somebody else's eye. And we should do that one to another. And so I think the way we should do that is the way we'd want to be done unto us. I think we can sit here today, and can you think, if your desire is to follow Christ, but you have become a slave to some sin, and you're drifting, and you know you're not doing good maybe, but it's kind of that beam that you don't see in your own eye. Would you want a brother or sister in Christ to come and tell you about that and to get you back on the right track? So that you can be in obedience to Christ. Hopefully you would. Hopefully you don't want to live a life of disobedience, a life that's dishonoring to Christ, a life that brings, you know, reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. But if in fact we're able to be blind even to a beam in our own eye, would you want somebody to show you that fault? Somebody to come and show you that beam in your eye. Hopefully you would. If not, the only reason would be pride. If it's a true fault, if they've done things biblically, would you want? I say we should want that to happen, and we should then do unto others as we would want them to do unto us. We should also be willing, if we see something in our brother or sister's life that we know is not God-honoring, if we know it's sin, and if we've done the things that we'll talk about in a little bit, we should go and help them out by taking the mote out of their eye. I don't think Jesus is saying don't judge at all. Just let somebody fall into sin. And we'll look at some examples where we're definitely not to do that. I want to look at, let's go to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Samuel. Now David was the second king of Israel. He was a man that's called a man after God's own heart. David was a man that defeated Goliath because he trusted in God. Because he knew that this man could not defy the armies of the living God. And he knew that even with a sling and a stone, he could defeat a giant. He was a man of faith. But David, he slipped into sin. He went up on his roof one night and he saw a woman bathing and he wanted that woman. And he committed adultery with that woman. He started down a slippery slope of sin. And he became a slave to that. He then got that woman's wife from the battlefield and tried to convince him that that was his son or daughter that she was carrying. When that didn't work, he had Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, murdered. So David was in deep into adultery. He was a murderer. Yet he could not see his own sin. He was living in that sin. And so this is an example to us. This is a warning and an admonition to us that David, for some reason, could not see this beam in his own eye, but he could see a speck in somebody else's eye. So God sent to him a brother. He sent to him another believer, a man of God, to David to point out his sin. And this man's name was Nathan. And Nathan was not there to build himself up hypocritically, to yell at David and to put him down so that Nathan could feel better. But as a genuine friend, to help David, who he knew was a man after God's own heart, to get back on track with God, he came to reprove him, to rebuke him, and to show him his sin. And I believe this is a pattern of how we could do it and how we should desire for this to happen. So we're in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. This is the prophet going to David the king. And he came unto him and said unto him, and he gives him a story, a little parable. He said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. So there's a poor man that all he has is one ewe lamb. He lets it eat at his table. He sleeps with this lamb. I mean, this lamb is part of his family. Then there's a rich man who's got exceeding many flocks and herds. So you got these two men. And there came, in verse 4, a traveler unto the rich man. So some random guy comes to the rich man's house. And the rich man spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd. He wasn't going to kill one of his own flock. He had exceeding many flocks and herds. He wouldn't kill a sheep out of his own. But instead, he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. So he killed the poor man's lamb that ate at his table, that slept with him, that was the only lamb that he had. He killed that one, dressed it, put it on the table, and he ate. Despicable, is that not? It's easy for us to see that. How despicable that is. You got so many sheep. You stole this man's sheep. You killed this man's sheep. And that's what David said. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Remember, David's this adulterer. He's a murderer. He just killed a man. He took a man's wife and then killed that man. But he was angry at this man for taking this sheep. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. So David was very easy. He had good, you know, senses of discerning other people's faults. He could see, and this is a big deal, why it wasn't a speck, but we'll say a speck in this man's life. You stole that lamb, his only lamb, you're going to die for it. David was judging that. But yet David did not see, or he did not recognize, or he would not own up to his own sin of adultery and murder. Now, is this an example of seeing a speck in somebody else's eye, but not seeing a beam in our own eye? It happened to David, a man after God's own heart. It could happen to us. It could be happening to me right now. And Lord willing, if I have that in my life and I'm not seeing it, you know, I have a brother in Christ that would come and tell me. Let's see David's response to that. Okay, well, let's see what happens. David says, his anger was greatly kindled. He said, the man has surely died. In verse 6, he says, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, because he had no pity. He said, you'll give him back four sheep, plus this man's going to die. And Nathan said to David in verse 7, thou art the man. So Nathan said, David, you're the man I'm talking about. You are the man. So Nathan didn't pull any punches. He said, you are that man. He told him, David, I'm talking about you. You're the one who has done this. And then he goes on to say, God says, I've made you king. I've gave you all this stuff, and yet you took another man's wife. Then you killed that man. So what does David do? This man after God's own heart, he was slid deep into this sin, but Nathan showed him his sin and brought it to him. And I mean, we would say he judged him, right? He did all this and said, you're that man. You're doing wrong. Now, David could have lashed out. And we see a lot of kings in the Bible when a prophet came and told them, they had that prophet killed. David, when he was told his sin, what was his response? Look at verse 13. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. He confesses the sin. He sees his sin. He confesses his sin that was brought to him by a friend, by a brother, by somebody that cared, by Nathan the prophet. He sees his sin. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. If you turn to Psalm 51 very quickly. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 was the song that David wrote at this time. When Nathan reproved him, when he saw his sin, and when he said, I have sinned against the Lord. Let's look at David's attitude. Psalm 51. And you can read above it. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he'd gone into Bathsheba. So this is a psalm written at this exact time. Verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So David, when he was judged, when he was reproved by Nathan the prophet, he saw his sin. His response was, I have sinned. And his response was, Lord, forgive me. I've sinned against you and you only. And he says, purge me with hyssop. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart. He repented of that sin. And that should be the goal of any proper judgment. It's not that we judge somebody else in order to exalt ourselves. I don't go and find something in Shelley's life and point out where Shelley's wrong so that I feel like I'm superior to Shelley. That's not what Nathan was doing. The point of judging righteously, judging with righteous judgment to a brother or sister in Christ, is to bring them to a place of repentance, restore their relationship with God, exactly as Nathan did for David. If it's not doing that, if we're not judging in order to do that, then we ought not to be judging, you know, a brother or sister in those kind of areas. If our goal is just gossip, if our goal is just to feel superior, that is unrighteous, condemnable judging. But if our judging is to restore a relationship of a brother or sister, bring them back with Christ, and we're doing it for that reason, that's righteous judgment. Now, it takes on David's part, it's a man after God's own heart to take that judgment, to take that rebuke, and to actually not lash out at Nathan, but to actually turn to God. And that's where our hearts need to be. Is your heart like that today, where if somebody came to you and there's a beam in your eye that you're not aware of, but if somebody came to you and you knew that that what they're saying is the truth. David knew that's the truth. He knew he had murdered. He knew he had committed adultery. Somehow he just put it out of his mind and just, you know, minimized it, I guess. But is your heart where it could be like David's, that you would acknowledge your sin and turn to God? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and there, amongst their church, amongst the people like we have right here, was a man that was taken in fornication. He was involved in fornication with his father's wife. And they had not removed him. They had not rebuked him. They'd said, that's fine. And that's the exact example of, like, if Nels was just knee-deep in sin, falling deep, and I said, well, I'm not going to judge. The church at Corinth was rebuked for that. They said, how can you let a man do that and eat with him, take communion with him, do all these things with him when he's deep in sin? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says they should have removed him from the church in order that his spirit may be saved in the day of Christ Jesus. So we would judge. I mean, if it's out there, we know it. We're not judging in order to say, Nels, you're down here, we're up here. We're judging, we're acknowledging that, we're bringing that to light in order that spirit may be restored, that he may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, if we're going to go and judge righteously, if we want to judge, and here I'm really talking about within the church. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, what have we to do with those without? God will judge those outside the church. But inside the church, those that claim the name of Jesus Christ, we want to judge, and we want to judge righteously. First off, we said we don't want to judge hypocritically. We want to judge ourselves first before others. We want to take the beam out of our own eye before others. Secondly, we don't want to judge according to appearance, right? We don't want to just look at it first off and just make a rash judgment. The Bible says, you know, we want to take our time to not judge hastily. In Proverbs 18:17, the Bible says, he that's first in his own cause seemeth just. Now, if you've had children and the first one comes to you crying, they're like, no, so-and-so did something to me. If you just took that story and you just punished the other one, I mean, you would be wrong most of the time because you get the whole story and then it makes sense. But whoever's first in the matter seems the right. So if, you know, we don't just take what we hear, some hearsay, and we just go and judge right away. We don't need to judge hastily. We want to hear the matter. The Bible says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and shame unto him. We want to hear and we want to get all the information before we make a judgment. Nathan had all the information. He had directly from God. God sent him to tell David. We want to make sure we have all the information before we go and rebuke and reprove and to judge a brother to restore them to fellowship with Christ. So we want to judge ourselves first. We do not want to judge hastily. And finally, we don't want to judge after the flesh. John 8, verse 15. John 8, verse 15 is where we're going to be. And Jesus said in John 8, verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. Again, he's speaking to the Pharisees. We can read in verse 13. But he says, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Ye judge after the flesh. It's easy for us to judge somebody after the flesh. If John, I feel like he's wronged me, then I can judge him. You know, then I'm ready. I'm looking for things on John's life, and I'm ready to pounce on something because I want to judge him. That's after the flesh. I'm trying to get even with somebody. That's judging after the flesh. If I have a vendetta against somebody and I judge, that's judging after the flesh. Because I'm jealous of somebody, so I judge. That's judging after the flesh. Right? Whatever it is, we don't want to make judgments based after our flesh. We want to make judgments based on the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If we want to discern and judge righteously, we want to judge and discern by the Word of God, because the Word of God discerns the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We don't judge based off of our feelings. We don't judge based off of what they've done to us or, but you know, what we are jealous of. That's judging after the flesh. So again, there's a way we do not judge. Do not judge after the flesh. Do not judge hastily. Do not judge hypocritically. We want to judge in the same way that we would want to be judged. As we would have somebody do unto us, do unto them. I do hope and wish and pray that if one of you sees a beam in my eye, sees a mote in my eye, that you would come and tell me. And do it with all love. Speak the truth in love. And I pray that I would do the same for you. But we don't want to do it after the flesh, hypocritically, with a mean spirit. We want to do it to restore the relationship with God. Finally, end in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I've alluded to the Corinthian church that had the man that was taken, it was in fornication with his father's wife, and they were happy to have him in their congregation. Just weren't going to expose that sin, weren't going to talk to him about that sin. Just let it go as normal. They weren't judging. They probably felt like they were very tolerant. But in the church of God, in God's church, we have no right to be tolerant of something that God says is sin. God says it's sin, and it's not loving to let them go on in that sin. We want to love one another. Read in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle, in a letter, not to company with fornicators. Don't hang around with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. He's saying, you know, you can't limit. When you work, when rich goes to work, there's going to be people there that are idolaters, people that are fornicators, people that are doing things. They're outside of Christ. They don't call themselves Christians. They're not Christians. You know, we can't leave the world. We're going to have to be in the world. We don't have to be of the world. But he says, I'm not talking about those outside the church. It says in verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, if somebody's calling himself a brother or sister in Christ, somebody claims the name of Christ. Yes, I'm a Christian. Now there, that brings a whole different light. We're not going around to everybody in the world and saying, listen, you know, you're doing this and that. But if somebody calls himself a brother, if they're part of the church of God, now this is a different story. If one that's called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. I mean, we wouldn't take communion with them. I would say we would not eat fellowship meal with them. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? I mean, he says, I'm not judging those outside the church. Do not ye judge them that are within? Should we not judge those that are here? And the answer is yes, we should. But them that are without, outside the church, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves that wicked person. So the message here is that we should judge righteous judgment inside the church. And if we are not to judge hypocritically, we need to first take the beam out of our own eye. And that's why for elders in a church that are going to be doing a lot of this, if it's a major deal, elders are to be blameless, the Bible says. They should be without reproach. They shouldn't have, you know, sins that are easily seen and everybody knows about. Elders should be blameless so they can judge righteously. So we are to judge others, but to judge with righteous judgment. We're not to judge hypocritically. We're not to judge with a vendetta. We're not to judge in those ways. We're judging not to exalt ourselves, but in order to restore a relationship with Christ. We're judging, you know, the whole other part is to discern, which we started with. We're proving all things, holding that which is good. Right? We're examining ourselves, and we start with ourselves. So, for us today, we can start by judging ourselves. Are you in the right relationship with God, where you want to be obedient to Jesus Christ, where if a brother or sister would come and show you a sin like Nathan did to David, that you could react like David? You could see your sin and not lash out at the messenger, but repent unto God. That should be our attitude. An attitude because we want to be obedient. And we do understand that we will slip up, we will fall. We don't have to. There are times we will. Is your heart open to judgment from others? And have you judged yourself? Are you examining yourself enough, looking at the beam for beams in your own eye, that you can help out a brother or sister? You can. If Jay sees Scott and he knows Scott, he can go to Scott and bring him a matter and say, listen, I see this in your life. But first, we have to have our own beams out of our own eye. But we're called to do that as Christians. We can't just turn a blind eye to other people and say, I'm on an island, I'm living my own life. But first, judgment begins with ourselves. Judgment begins with ourselves most harshly and most critically. So I urge you to do that. If you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, may we look at our lives and may we be able to remove the beams out of our own eye so that we can see clearly to remove a mote out of a brother's eye. May we function as the church is supposed to function, not as the world today tells us to function, and that is, you know, just to be tolerant and just to let anybody continue in anything. But Lord, may we, in love for one another, be willing to point out sin, to bring sin to the mind and to the hearts of others so that they can see it, so that they can be restored to fellowship. Lord, help us as a church not to just slide into whatever the world tells us we should be, but to look to your word and to stick to that and to do things righteously. Lord, help us to judge with righteous judgment. Help us not to judge hypocritically. Help us not to judge to exalt ourselves. Help us not to judge with vendettas. Lord, help us, I pray, each one of us to do this and to function as a healthy body of Christians. Lord, as your will is. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.